Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Get at us on the CNG Twitter line at Mike Golic Jr. at ChrisCanty99. Jumpstart the new year with Body Armor Light, the low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle. Shop now at retailers nationwide. And Gojo, right now, we got to go out to the CNG hotline to bring on one of my former teammates when I was a Baltimore Ravens, now New England Patriots defensive tackle Lawrence Guy. And Vegas, we want to get to the work that you do in the community that highlighted you and got you nominated for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award by the New England Patriots. But before we do that, I got to ask you about your quarterback, Mac Jones, in the rookie season that he had. What was the thing that impressed you the most with him stepping under center this season for the Patriots?
Well, you know, you got a young man that came in a high-pressure role. He's stepping in the footsteps of greatness at his left. But if you thought about how he handled the pressure, it was amazing. He was able to take everything on his shoulders and keep on driving. But the best thing about him was that he always kept his head in his book. Even if he had a bad game, a good game, he always tried to figure out how to be better the next following game. He never had that one teammate that said, okay, let me lift him up. He was already up there lifted. And I felt like we're going to be watching this kid for a very long time coming. By the time I'm retired, I'm going to continue to be watching him play the game and get better every single year. And we know where that's going to go sooner or later. He's going to be one of those great quarterbacks in the league if he keeps on going the way he's going.
As far as on the field, because obviously you got to see him before anyone in the offseason, during training camp, when you guys are going good on good there, what stuck out to you about him on the field that let you know he was going to be able to have success for you guys?
You know, when we come into a locker room, we got a lot of rookies that come in there that are quieted, that want to be in their own little shell, try to figure everything out. I feel like he came in there with a leader role mentality. He's like, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my head on my shoulders and I'm going to put my head in my book. I'm going to try to get better. And you just immediately saw the competition this form. And that's what you want to see. When you have a rookie come in there, you want to see him know, okay, this is what I got to do. Take control when you need to take control. Take the coaching when you need to take coaching. So when you see that as a young man coming in there, you're just like, okay, we see what he's going to be. And like I said, he's going to be a real good quarterback, and he is a real good quarterback, and he's doing everything the right way. You know, he ain't sitting there complaining about, if I had this, if I had that. No, you see him like, okay, this is what I got to do. I got to play better. I got to do better. And he's also looking at his film every single time, like, what do I need to improve? And that's what you see when he steps on that practice field. He's not sitting there like, well, you're not supposed to be there. You're not supposed to do that. Well, you jumped around. You read the card wrong. No, he's like, okay, this is what we got to do to fix it.
Talking with New England Patriots defensive tackle Lawrence Guy on Canty and Golic Jr. in Vegas. Zooming out and taking a look at the landscape of the AFC East, you got a lot of really good young quarterbacks in your division, and a guy that you've seen up close and personal three times this season is Josh Allen. He just put on a show against Pat Mahomes in the divisional round out in Arrowhead. The Bills ended up being on the losing side of that. But in looking at him and the kind of quarterback he is, walk us through the week that was game planning for a guy like Josh Allen.
Well, you guys understand because we're a division opponent. You see him so much, so you're like, okay, I want to see him. We understand what we're getting into. But like I said, you got a quarterback that's able to move out the pocket. And everybody knows if you're a D lineman, you don't like mobile quarterbacks. And we got a D offensive line that was very physical, was able to maintain the pocket when they needed to. But the best thing about when you see Josh Allen play, you have to understand that he also has a cannon for an arm. And you saw that against the Chiefs. Like, he was launching that ball. So you're constantly understanding what you got to do. You have to keep him in the pocket. You have to maintain the deep threat down the field. And you have to understand he might make a little adjustment in the game here and there. As you saw against us, every single game was different. You know, we got the first game, the win game was different than the second game in Foxborough. Against the third game, that was completely different. And you just see the development. They've never had the same game plan. They're already like, okay, this is what we got to do. This is what's benefiting us. And I also feel like he doesn't just choose one wide receiver. If you ask me to look at how he does it, each game he had a different target. And every target, like he's making great passes to this one target. I'm like, okay, this is the person that's hot today. It's not like, well, I need to pass the ball to Diggs because he's our number one receiver. No, he's going to spread the ball around. And you saw that with the Chiefs, that he was spreading the ball around, and he found his target that was hot that day, and he kept going to him.
Kenny Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to New England Patriots D-tackle Lawrence Guy. You talked about that sort of evolution, that change from game to game. I want to look at your head coach as far as evolution. So much of his career for Bill Belichick was tied to Tom Brady and the things that they did together. Now that Brady has been out of there and you've got a new guy under center, have you seen any change in the approach from Bill? Has any part of the process changed for him?
No. You change with different players. You have to do that. No matter what, but the way we treat how we come in the building, leave the building, it's all been the same. It's pretty much not going to change. It's an atmosphere. We have a high expectation for each and every player that steps in that building, and we want to push you to it. It's not the easiest place to play. Like, don't let everybody say, oh man, this is the easiest place to play. It's not, because you're getting challenged every single day. You're going to become a better player, and you're going to look at it in the light, like, I understand why I'm going to push so hard. But once you achieve those goals that you have, you kind of understand that. And that's how their approach is. And everybody that tries buys into it. That's why I tell people all the time, when you listen to the Patriots players talk on social media, you listen to them talk on interviews, you don't see nobody's pointing fingers and saying, well, this person's the reason why we're losing. Well, this person is the reason why that the game laws are, this person made this big mistake. It's no pointing. It's like, okay, we did it as a team. We lost as a team. We won as a team. And we want to take that mentality every single time. And once you do that, it kind of brings in the locker room. And that's the approach that Bill brings into it. Like, hey, we do everything as a team. Win or lose, it doesn't matter what happens. To win the game, everybody has to be on fire on all cylinders.
Yeah, everybody in the NFL knows playing for Bill Belichick is not an easy thing to do. It's also not an easy thing to do to extend yourself in your community the way that you do through your charity, the Lawrence Guy Foundation, the work that's got you as the nominee for the New England Patriots for Walter Payton Man of the Year. And Vegas, I need you to tell us more about what you're doing through the Lawrence Guy Foundation and how you're impacting lives in the New England community.
Well, you know, me and my wife started the Lawrence Guy Family Foundation in 2019, where we choose to impact families that are unfortunate and families that need a little bit more help to reach their full potential. Going down from people with learning disabilities, what we call learning challenges, to make sure that they understand that they have a voice and they are not unheard, they need to be heard, and they are somebody that could be looked up to and not looked down upon for something that's a little bit different. We also like to go out there and help with women of abuse to make sure they have an understanding that, as I said before, they have a voice. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are in domestic violence or in bad relationships, or they are got dealt the wrong hand. So we want to go out there and uplift them. On top of that, education is so it's a big thing for us that we try to reach out to schools to make sure that they had the proper materials to go into the school going to the school year, from paper to backpacks to everything that you could think of. Then the best thing we do, we've been doing for the last 12 years that we always do, is we do a family give back that we try to adopt the elementary and adopt the middle school, where we give back to Thanksgiving dinners and fixings to every single student in the elementary and middle school. And we also adopt the Boys and Girls Club, where we get back to the kids. They also do the same thing. So it's pretty much, we just want to enlighten people that we understand that there's struggles in the world. And we have this platform that we're able to use. I want to be able to use it to make sure we can uplift people to understand that if you're going to come out and cheer for somebody on Sunday, that they're going to be out here going in the community on Tuesday. And that's the biggest thing that we really wanted to focus on. It's how can we uplift you guys and make sure that your voice is heard and people see you and that you have an opportunity to grow. And that's what the foundation is. We want people to grow and to achieve their full potential.
It's incredible work. It's such a great reminder of the great men that are all around this league doing the work. But Lawrence, we know you and your wife, like you mentioned, been doing it at an incredible level for a long time now. We appreciate the work that you do. We appreciate you giving us some time. Best of luck and enjoy the offseason. Hopefully we'll get to talk to you again soon.
In Vegas, good luck on the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. I know our late defensive line coach Clarence Brooks would be so proud of you, man. Best of luck.
Appreciate it, old man. I know he would. I do appreciate that.
Awesome stuff from Lawrence Guy. Oh, man, he got you in there, too.
Just Lawrence. A little shot. Just a little shot, but it's all love, man. That's my dude right there.
It's always awesome. Always nice to see guys getting to catch up with old teammates.
Hey, listen, Gojo, I could have told you his other nickname, which was Can't Get Right. But that's another story for another day.
As soon as we get done with this Walter Payton Man of the Year candidacy here, that's how you know there's real love involved in that relationship. Coming up next, though, let's look at the NBA, because this has been an up-and-down season for the Brooklyn Nets in a lot of ways. Chris Canty is about to tell us the mistake that he believes Brooklyn is on the cusp of making next. That's next. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
They said we were nuts back in the fall of 1979, saying that all sports 24 hours a day would make it on TV. And now you say we're nuts trying to start ESPN Radio? We're dead serious. We know you like us on TV, and if you do, you'll love us on radio.
30 years and counting. This is ESPN Radio. This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Get at us on the CNG Twitter line at Mike Golic Jr. at Chris Canty 99. What we want to know is it still socially acceptable to watch The Walking Dead? Because our producer Shannon Penn seems to think so. Gojo and I are on the other side of that, but I digress.
I've got the poll up right now, Chris. We are 1,900 votes in. Do you still watch The Walking Dead? 11.4% say yes. 88.6% say what?
Exactly.
So that's where we're at on all of that. Shannon, you're not going to have a lot of allies out here.
No allies for Shannon Penn.
That 11% they're independent thinkers. Thank you very much.
Oh my God.
Kind of like Kyrie Irving, I guess. Yeah, I'm just saying. And speaking of Kyrie, Gojo, because I feel like we have to go there right now. I know we're on the eve of championship weekend in the NFL, but we got to talk about the association, and we got to talk about the tweet that Woj put out there last night that said that the Brooklyn Nets brass will not entertain any trade talks with all NBA guard James Harden. Now, of course, Joe Tsai and Sean Marks are resolute in their position. They want to keep the team together, and they believe that they will be able to keep James Harden in Brooklyn beyond this season. But we both know that James Harden hasn't signed the contract extension that's been on the table since the start of this season. So I got to throw this question to you, man. Do you think that the Brooklyn Nets are making a mistake by not even listening to people calling about James Harden?
Listen, if they are, in fact, not listening at all, yes, that's a huge mistake. Just a general principle. Everyone listening, always take the call. Always take the call. That's just rule number one for life. But in this instance, Chris, I look at this and I don't believe them. Like, everyone involved, and they're saying this is rooted in James Harden, saying he's committed to this organization and winning a championship. That all sounds like exactly like the stuff you're supposed to say in this spot, Chris. And I got no problem with them lying to us in public and doing different behind closed doors, because, hell, you've had enough up and down this season, Chris. The last thing on earth you need to do if you're Brooklyn is publicly admit that you're shopping the one superstar that's left on the court for you right now.
Yeah, because if it becomes open season, then all of a sudden the value for trade for the player, which you're going to get in return, goes down. If you don't believe me, all you got to do is go down the turnpike and ask Daryl Morey. So I think this is a situation where Brooklyn is trying to put on a front and say that James Harden is committed to us, and of course we're committed to him. We know that the Brooklyn Nets are out of options. They really don't have any choice, because they mortgage their future by shipping off all of their young quality players and four first-round draft picks in order to get James Harden last year. So they've got to see this thing through, but the problem that I have is James Harden doesn't necessarily seem like he's as committed to the Brooklyn Nets. The fact that they have tried to offer him that contract extension and that he has expressed the unwillingness to sign it, you've got reports surfacing that he intends to try free agency. And on top of that, you saw how frustrated he was after that loss to the Lakers, where he drops a 30-point triple-double. At this point, James Harden is looking at what's happening with Kyrie Irving and the impact that that's having on him, the impact that that's having on KD, and the overall team. And he's saying to himself, is this a situation that's going to be able to net me a championship? And Gojo, I don't think it will. I feel like the Brooklyn Nets in a lot of ways are like the Walking Dead. We're just waiting on to see how it's going to end, but we know it's not going to be anything good. That's where the Brooklyn Nets are at right now, because you recognize the burden that Kyrie Irving's indecision and stance on the vaccination has put on the other two superstars, James Harden and KD. Before KD got hurt, he was in the top five of minutes played in the NBA. That's not where you want a player at, especially on this side of 30. And so it feels a lot like what we saw last year, where those guys were dealing with various injuries at different times, and the timing could never sync up where they would be able to go on a run in the postseason. I feel like a lot of the same is happening in 2022.
Chris, you know what's interesting to think about in all of this is we've talked about it, and I think rightly, that if James Harden and the Brooklyn Nets don't win a championship this year, there's no way he's sticking around for that based on what chaos this has been. If they were to win it, is there even less incentive for him to stick around? Like, you got the one thing that you were looking for there, and you've had to deal with headaches all along the way. Like, we've listened to James Harden in enough of these post-game press conferences to know he's been frustrated by at least the situation. He has said as much in his own words, and so we'll take him at that. Like, if they win it all this year, Chris, he'd get what he came for, he'd be a highly coveted free agent, and he'd get to a place with potentially more stability on the other side. It seems like all roads, if you logic this and try and game this out, could lead to him leaving Brooklyn.
Yeah, well, there's a financial incentive for James Harden not to be traded at the deadline and to do a sign and trade this offseason and go wherever he wants to go. It seems like that would make the most sense. But if you're Brooklyn, that's not going to net you the caliber of players or assets that James Harden would seemingly be worth if you were to make a decision to try to trade him at the deadline. Because a team would not only get James Harden for next year and the following years, but they would actually get him for the second half of this season and a postseason run. So I look at it from the Nets standpoint, and it just doesn't make sense for them not to pick up the phone if people are calling about James Harden, because you might be staring at the inevitable fact that James Harden is no longer going to be in Brooklyn after this season.
Yeah, Chris, I can understand that, but at the end of the day, the way they built this thing was about that pursuit of the championship in a short term. You mentioned it. They sold off all the future for the here and now. This is a lot like what the Los Angeles Rams have done. Tomorrow doesn't matter for this team, and so they've gotten the, if you're going through hell the way they are right now or the way it might feel, the only way out is to keep on going through, I think, if you're the Brooklyn Nets in this spot. It might be grisly. It might end horribly. But at this point, it seems like the bed that you've made if you're Joe Tsai in this organization. That's what's going to be interesting. Speaking of, tune in tomorrow night. The NBA is on ESPN Radio. Sorry, that's tonight. Andre Drummond and the Sixers, that's right. Host Malik Monk and the Lakers, the matchup we've all been waiting for. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. But coming up next, Chris Canty and I were having this argument during the break. Is Joe Burrow already a top five quarterback in the NFL? We'll figure out if either of us are willing to book that next after this word from Vivid Seats. Now, guys, with the safe return to live events, you can actually be there to catch all the action in person with Vivid Seats. That's right. Every alley-oop slam, every one-timer, every sideline grab now can all be experienced live. And with Vivid Seats rewards, well, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you got to do, collect stamps, redeem, repeat. It's that easy. From upper level to courtside, Vivid Seats has you covered for all the events that matter to you. So grab your tickets today and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Let's play Book It next. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Get at us on the CNG Twitter line at Mike Golic Jr. and at Chris Canty 99. And Gojo, it's Thursday, so that means we're on the eve of conference championship weekend in the NFL. That also means it's time for us to play Book It.
All right, guys, Book It. You know the drill. You add Book It to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the books.
You know what time it is. It's Book It time, damn it. All right, guys. Canty and Golic Jr., if you're new around here, haven't played Book It before, pretty easy game. Goes like this. our producer, Shannon, who still watches The Walking Dead, is going to read us a spicy take here. If you like it, if you want to heat it up, feel like Stephen A. on First Take, you shout, book it. Feels real good.
You can book it.
Well, if you don't, then we won't. We'll move on here. Shannon, how we feeling?
I'm feeling great, Mike. Getting pumped. Might watch another trailer for The Walking Dead when the show is over. So let's get started with the first question. Mike, I will start with you. The Kansas City Chiefs are the clear Super Bowl favorites. You going to book that?
I will say yes.
Damn it, I ain't playing.
Don't think there's any doubt in my mind. According to Caesars, the Chiefs plus 130 to win the Super Bowl, followed by the Rams at 210, the San Francisco 49ers at plus 450, and the Bengals at a distant plus 750. I think it's well-earned. I think they're playing their best football at the right time of year. Coming off that game, Chris, those two teams, the Bills and the Chiefs, played the game of the weekend that was the least marred by mistakes until that last 13 seconds for the Bills, and the most defined by incredibly high-level play all over the field.
Yeah, I'm going to co-sign, retweet with that. I'm going to book this as well. Although I will say this, Gojo, if the Chiefs are going to lose, I think it actually happens this weekend as opposed to in the Super Bowl, because if they get there for a third straight season, they're going to finish the drill. And that bad taste in their mouth after what happened to them against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa last year, there's no way they get back to that stage and lose. But they could get caught slipping this weekend by the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, that's right. I said it. You heard it here first. Although I am rolling with the Chiefs to win outright, I think I'm taking the Bengals in the points.
Ooh, see, this is going to be the topic going on for the rest of the week here. Chris and I will get into plenty of that tomorrow, because at the beginning of the week I felt one way, and I'm slowly finding myself walking back in to those safe, loving arms of Andy Reid and his chocolate cake. What do we got next, Shannon?
All right, let's go to the NFC game. Chris, the San Francisco 49ers can't beat the Rams for a third time. You going to book that?
No.
Really?
I'm not going to book that, because I could absolutely see a path where DeMeco Ryans, defensive coordinator for the 49ers, comes up with a game plan that forces Matt Stafford to turn the ball over a couple of times, and that could ultimately be the difference in this game. And keeping in mind that the 49ers have beaten the Rams, what is it, six straight times? So I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that it's a seventh one. I know Sean McVay can say that Kyle Shanahan ain't in his head, but until you actually get it done against this dude, you're going to be feeling some type of way. So I'm not going to book this one.
I am going to book this one.
Ooh,
because, Chris, it was kind of like last weekend, and maybe part of me is just buying into the mojo that we've seen from the Rams, the way they've been able to win these consecutive playoff games, doing it different each time, being able to adjust. I think they finally found that ability to get over some of these humps we saw last week. That hump was the defending champs and Tom Brady. Different challenge again this week. Four-man rush, going to be a little bit more zone than they were used to. All these things that aren't necessarily the thing that the Rams were built to stop, meaning going up against the blitz. But I think in this game especially, all things equal, incredibly similar philosophies, this is where we see it made clear to Kyle Shanahan why on the other side they went up and traded all those picks to go and get Trey Lance, because that performance that Matt Stafford is going to give this Rams team is going to be the difference yet again. Canny and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canny here on ESPN Radio. Play and book it. What do we got, Shannon?
All right, Mike, here we go. Joe Burrow is already a top five quarterback. Are you going to book that?
I am going to book this.
Ding, ding, ding.
Dan Orlovsky gets full marks for this. He said this weeks ago and really let all of us catch up to this. And Chris, you and I were talking about it. If we really want to game this out and do it by the list, you have Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and I would say Josh Allen now probably firmly in that mix up top. If you want to dispute that with Joe Burrow, the name that makes this interesting, if you want to go a literal five, is if we get Deshaun Watson back on the field next season. But right now, Chris, I'm saying comfortably Joe Burrow top five quarterback based on the degree of difficulty he's overcome this year.
Yeah, I'm going to book this too.
Bing,
with
bang.
The caveat that I think that Russell Wilson is a part of that Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson mix. Like, it's clear that the top three of the top three, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Pat Mahomes, that group is what they are. But, I mean, when you start getting to that who's number four, five, six, I think they're all lumped in there together. I would say that Joe Burrow has an opportunity to make a firm case to be the second best quarterback in the AFC, depending on how competitive this game is in Arrowhead on Sunday. And I'm anticipating that it's going to be a lot closer in this AFC championship game than it was last AFC championship game, where Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs ran roughshod over the Buffalo Bills with Josh Allen.
Again, we've certainly seen he's able to overcome so much over the course of this season. that's certainly not out of the realm of possibility. Let's get one more in here, Shannon. What do we got?
All right, one more quarterback question, Chris. This one is for you. Jimmy G will be a week one starter next season. You going to book that?
Yeah, I'm going to book it because half the NFL is looking for a better option at the quarterback spot, including our New York Giants, Shannon. That's just what it is. So Jimmy Garoppolo will have an opportunity to be a starter starting next season, barring that he's healthy throughout the course of the rest of the playoffs and into the offseason. But, yeah, Jimmy G will be a starting quarterback. You can go ahead and book that.
Yeah, I think for all the discourse around Jimmy Garoppolo, understandably the lesser of his peers on this stage, he has been a productive starter. He's been a guy that's played well within Kyle Shanahan's system. One that, by the way, is becoming more popular as that coaching tree branches out across the NFL. I think you mentioned the Giants. I think the Steelers moving on from Ben Roethlisberger could potentially be in that market during a stopgap year as they try and figure out their future. All that potentially out there for Jimmy G. But I'm with you. I think he starts the 2021-22 season for somebody here. But he will also be playing in the conference championship weekend. And that's going to be a hot ticket. Hot Tickets brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seats Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Coming up next, though, let's take a look at that Pittsburgh Steelers situation, because we finally got the announcement that everyone had been waiting for since that last home game at Heinz Field. Next, here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Caught, touchdown, Ben Roethlisberger makes plays when the pressure comes.
It is official, Ben Roethlisberger announcing his retirement.
Ben Roethlisberger, 3 Super Bowl appearances, 2-time Super Bowl champion.
The ultimate guy when you think of Pittsburgh Steelers.
Lock Hall of Famer, one of the greatest ever.
Not always pretty, but we find a way, and that's kind of been the story of my career.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Get at us on the CNG Twitter line at Mike Golic Jr. and at Chris Canty 99. And Gojo, we got the official word from Ben Roethlisberger's camp that he is retiring from the National Football League. It's something that we expected when we saw his last regular season game. It was one of those things where we knew that Ben Roethlisberger, after what happened in Arrowhead in the wild card round, that he was probably going to be donezo, and so the announcement came through. And so this is one of those days where everybody likes to reflect on his legacy. And for me, Ben Roethlisberger's legacy will be one of the hardest quarterbacks that there was to be able to take down. He was a warrior when it came to how he attacked opposing defenses. He would shrug off defensive linemen. He would be able to extend the down, extend the plays, and then being able to hit receivers downfield. He was a top competitor. And the thing that really drives that point home is the fact that we're talking about this guy being second all-time in game-winning drives in the regular season with 53. He's tied with Tom Brady despite playing 4 fewer seasons, and he's 5th with game-winning drives in the postseason. So Hall of Fame career, no doubt this guy is going to waltz into Canton, but Ben Roethlisberger, one of the best to ever do it, and quite frankly, the best quarterback in Pittsburgh Steelers history. And that's saying something for a franchise that's been around since 1933.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I don't think there's any hyperbole in that statement, Chris. What he meant to that franchise over that long period of time. Like you said, like quarterbacks like Josh Allen now, who, my God, what proof of human evolution do you need, that sit there and shrug off hits in the pocket are an absolute ox to try and take down. Like, for me growing up, watching Ben Roethlisberger constantly roll around, bang off things, pinball off guys in the pocket there, and then have, for a while, that telepathic relationship with Antonio Brown. When the play broke down, that was one of the original duos that I think of that just seemed to always have the big play in their pocket for the team. And so that's going to be the legacy that Ben leaves behind there. Certainly in that city in particular, he seemed to, you know, really emphasize and really represent a lot of the values that you think of when it comes to Pittsburgh Steelers football. But it also now leaves a massive void, because Chris, you and I also talked about, it was a massive risk for Pittsburgh to do what they did, to allow Ben Roethlisberger to play out the entirety of this 18 seasons, to bring him back, to restructure this offseason, and to not once really commit solid investments towards a quarterback of the future. So from where they go here is the next big question. And Ramon Foster, former longtime Pittsburgh Steelers offensive guard and co-host of J. Martin Ramon on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, joined us back in January 19th and talked about the Steelers' quarterback of the future.
Pittsburgh is going to be looking for a guy that's very similar. What do they have to do to actually get back to the point where you got a franchise guy? They got three young guys in the building right now, Dobbs, Haskins, and Mason Rudolph. Now, the idea is if they go out and ball out, then they got their guy. I honestly think it's either that option right there or they have a bridge year in which they go draft somebody the following year.
Chris, what do you think the plan is? Because I think that latter option here, understanding next year is going to be kind of a transition, Mike Tomlin's going to have to do some MacGyver stuff yet again, and understanding this draft may not be the one either to go and necessarily commit your resources to a QB of the future.
Yeah, but I can tell you this, the plan for Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert, their general manager, is not for Dobbs, Haskins, or Mason Rudolph to be QB1 starting next season. That's not the plan. Like, they're going to be aggressive and try to see if they can maneuver in the draft to get one of the guys that they could potentially like as the successor for Ben Roethlisberger. Or the more likelier option is being aggressive in veteran free agency or quarterbacks that are available via trade. I don't see the Pittsburgh Steelers rolling with any one of those three guys that they currently have under contract, just because if they had any conviction about those guys, they would have given them more opportunities to get some playing time. I just don't see them going in that direction. I think that they're going to be more aggressive because you got to also consider their timeline, Gojo. They got a championship defense right now. TJ Watt tied Michael Strahan's sack record at week 18 against the Baltimore Ravens. This is a situation now where they feel like they need to get the quarterback in place with the weapons that they have in the skill position core in order to do some high-level winning. And I can tell you, Mason Rudolph, Dwayne Haskins, Josh Dobbs, those aren't going to be the guys that get it done for you. So I think they're hyper-aggressive about trying to get a veteran quarterback, whether it's free agency or whether it's via trade. I think they go that route. And if they don't get the guy that they're targeting, then I think you could see them being aggressive at the top of this year's draft.
Yeah, so they're 20th right now in the first round of the NFL draft this upcoming season. And, Chris, I'd say that'd be great range for what I think the value is in a lot of this class here, but we know the trickle-up that tends to happen towards the draft. You mentioned the veteran quarterback market. A lot of people have said the A-word in this, Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's going to end up with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Chris. I don't think that offensive line and the rest of that group is in a place that's necessarily going to get Aaron Rodgers to where he wants in all of this. What is a name that's more realistic? I threw out Jimmy Garoppolo as a guy who I think is going to be that mid-level veteran option who can come in a system the way Matt Canada wants to run it in that offense and maybe give you something that, to your point, can be a veteran presence on a team that's going to be led by the other side of the ball.
Yeah, I think guys like Jameis Winston will get a look. I think he'll get some consideration. We'll see what happens with Marcus Mariota. I think there'll be a number of guys that are out there in the free agent landscape that Mike Tomlin can take a look at. Somebody in the division like Tyler Huntley. Maybe that's an option that they look at on the younger side of things. So we'll see what ends up happening. Teddy Bridgewater will be out there. Mitch Trubisky is a free agent. I don't know that they go that route. But I think that there'll be enough guys that are young enough that warrant a consideration given where they're at and, you know, essentially not going to cost you what it would cost to be able to bring in, you know, a guy via trade, because you're talking about mortgaging significant draft capital. The Pittsburgh Steelers don't strike me as an organization that wants to do that. So I would look for somebody of that Jimmy Garoppolo ilk, somebody like a Teddy Bridgewater, somebody like a Jameis Winston. That's probably Marcus Mariota. That's kind of the pool that I see Mike Tomlin diving in if he can't get one of those big fish via trade. Now, we'll see what happens. I know Russell Wilson also wants out of Seattle, so we'll see what happens with that situation as well. But I think they do explore the trade market and see what teams are asking for some of those upper echelon guys before they take a step down and look at the guys that are available in free agency.
And if they take one of those one-year guys or one of those lower middle-level veteran guys, I don't think that precludes you from them taking a stab late in that draft there if someone follows. Kenny Pickett's right over there in that facility on the south side. They share a building with the Pitt Panthers and Carson Street. So I know Mike Tomlin and company, Kevin Colbert, their GM, have seen Kenny Pickett and what he's been able to do there. They've seen those work habits up close out in those fields. And so they'll be evaluating that group depending on, like you said, free agency first and foremost. For a team of Mike Tomlin who knows good and damn well, there's no rebuilding around here in Pittsburgh. That's not what they are in the business of, not in any way, shape, or form. That's after Ben Roethlisberger finally hangs it up after 18 seasons as the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Coming up next, what do we do to get our money right for conference championship weekend? Let's go to a friend that has treated us very well around these parts the last couple of weeks. Next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.